I was flicking through the papers during the week and I saw in Britain and Ireland, blue eye colour is probably the most common of all eye colours in between Ireland and Scotland and Wales. I was wondering why this is. Why do we find blue colour in our eyes more attractive than other people in the world, I'm told? Or has it been determined by the environment that we live in through the ages? So today we've asked Dan Bradley, who's Professor of Population Genetics at Trinity College Dublin, to come in and tell us a little bit more. Well, we've got to talk about genetics in general as well and some of the work that you're doing. But why do more people in Ireland have blue eyes than any other colour?
What you say is true. In Ireland, a majority of people have blue eyes, whereas if you move westward across the British Isles into eastern Britain, a majority of people have brown eyes. So there is a difference there. And in fact, that gradient is part of a larger gradient in Europe, that the maximum frequency of blue eyes in the world is in Northern Europe, Scandinavia, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. So if you like, the northwestern periphery of Europe. So is there a reason for that, or is it just a chance happening? And when you look at the pattern of genetic variation, there are certain techniques we can use that answer that question, whether there's been some sort of biological purpose behind it or whether it's just chance. And it gives a very strong signal of it being having a purpose. That the reason blue eyes is common in these northern parts of Europe is that there's been some sort of advantage in it in the past. Now, what was that advantage? One advantage you mentioned might be that just sexual attraction, and that's part of selection. But my own opinion is that that's not the major thing that's going on. That it's a pigmentation phenotype or character, and it's involved. The gene involved with blue eyes, OCA2, is also involved in some difficult to tease out way with skin pigmentation. And we've certainly had very strong selection for light skin pigmentation in Northern Europe and especially, in fact, in Ireland.
And we go back to the Rift Valley and we talk about the first humans, or we know them, first Homo sapiens, to emerge and start to travel north. Their eye colour, their skin colour probably was dark. Their eye colour probably was dark as well. But somewhere along that journey, things changed.
That's right. That's right for sure. The ancestral states for humans are darker pigmentation and darker hair as well. And it seems that just as in when Irish people travel to places where there's a lot of sunlight, we can have problems because our skin is very light and our skin can get damaged. And the incidence of skin cancer in people in Australia, sadly, with what people say is Celtic heritage, is high. But there's a reverse selection. That's selection for darker skin in sunny climates. In climates like our own, where there isn't much sun, because we have a northern latitude, but also because we have a lot of cloud. We have very, very low sunlight. I'm sure you're aware.
We're slightly blue, I think, as well, especially. Yeah. That's what the Scottish would say, they're slightly blue. The sexual attraction for blue eyes, does it follow in genetics that if a blue-eyed person meets a blue-eyed person, they'll have blue-eyed children?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
And that'll be how it follows.
Yeah.
But I always remember being shown a diagram. No, don't worry, I'm not going.
No, but, Brenda, thought you knew about all this.
I did, yeah. But they'd show kind of the eye pigment of, you know, the grandparents and your eye, and that they'd be able to predict the pigment of the child's eye. If somebody was expecting a baby, that it goes back two or three generations and whatever way it unfolds, if she's blue eyes, if he's red, green eyes, blah. Is that true? Can you do that?
In some instances you can, and in some instances you can't. It depends on the parents.
Right.
So if both parents have blue eyes, then the child will have blue eyes. And if
There's a few people out there who have children and both of them are blue-eyed and the children have brown eyes are now looking at each other in the car.
Well, I should add that there can be complexities. So that they
say granny had brown eyes and you'd blue eyes. And do you know what? I'm not trying to give a specific example, but
you see, if you have brown eyes, you might have one copy of the brown eye gene or you might have two copies.
Right.
So it doesn't follow that someone who has brown eyes will always have a child with brown eyes.
Now, when we talk about uniquely Irish genes, I mean, obviously with people moving in and out over hundreds of years as well, we've had a recent influx of immigration as well into the country. Yeah. You know, people would always say in Galway that maybe the Spanish or the French might have had an influence on some of the genes that are in that pool at the moment, or in Cork and in Killala and different places as well. Are there uniquely, for the majority of the population, are there uniquely Irish genes? I know you're doing some research on skeletons at the moment. When you extract DNA from a skeleton that you found, can you tell if they're of Irish origin originally?
Well, just to unpick your question a little bit, the idea that people are moving into Ireland is absolutely true, and it's not something that's just happened in the last 10 years. It's been going on forever, and you mentioned a project that we're engaged in collaboration with the National Museum, and that is looking at the genetic material from Irish people from thousands of years ago and throughout history and prehistory, and asking what are the changes, what are the possible movements, and when did they occur into the island. So that's something we're engaged in, but it's early days in that yet. I've forgotten the first part of the question.
I have too. No, but are there uniquely Irish traits that you can find?
Uniquely is a strong word, because we're not that different from other Europeans, and in fact, all humans are not that different. So there's nothing that's unique to Ireland, but we have a higher percentage of certain variants in Ireland.
So I've often heard that we have great lactose tolerance rather than intolerance. That I know some people with darker skin would have a problem with absorbing lactose from milk or dairy products. In Ireland, we tend to be quite lactose tolerant.
Yes. So if you were looking for a national gene, you probably would say it's the gene, the variant in the gene that allows us to drink milk as adults without getting sick, because milk is an infant food, and for most humans, and for all mammals, they're not able to drink milk when they're adults unless it's fermented or treated in some way. And in Northwest Europe, in particular, it's not the only place, but it's a major place. A very strong evolution has occurred that allows people to drink milk when they're adults, because our history and prehistory has been very focused on dairy economy. And Ireland has the highest incidence in the world. It's on the west coast. It's practically 100%, and it's a signature of a past that was focused on cattle. And if you look at Irish literature, it's not terribly surprising. It's all about stealing cows, and
we start quoting now as well. When you look at a gene pool, and let's imagine there are 4 million people as well, how many people to come in from different countries would it take to change those genes within a number of generations? I'm imagining as if you were talking about dilution when it comes to chemicals, parts per million. You know, if 100,000 people come into a pool of 400 million or 4 million people, how many generations will it take for the gene pool to change?
I think what you're getting at is quite correct. 4 million is a lot of people. And in the past, the population was much smaller, so influxes had more effect. A modern European country
it's quite a transient. There's people moving in and out.
Yeah. It does depend how many children people have, of course. But I personally don't see a very large change in the genetics of Western Europe happening very quickly. It may happen in time, and I certainly wouldn't give any value to that, good or bad. That's just what happens.
No, that's just
people migrate and
things have changed over hundreds of years. Tell us a little bit about the you have a lot of skeletons to visit over the next couple of years. Why is that?
Well, we've been to the closets and we've sampled.
That's
the
a different program.
They're out here anyway on this show.
So, you're extracting DNA from skeletons. How many are you going to extract DNA from, and what do you hope to see at the end of that?
So, we've been lucky enough to be granted a license to sample DNA from Irish skeletal material going back to the first people on the island, the Mesolithics, people who weren't even farmers, through to the first farmers, then through to the first people who worked with metal, Bronze Age, and then Iron Age. And what we hope to see in a nutshell is to tease out the origins of people and on this. On this
Brenda wants to ask something.
Dan, I just want to ask a question. Right, say you see somebody and they've a brown eye.
You're still on the eyes, Brenda. We're in the middle.
I just love eyes. I love eyes. Yeah. Say they've a brown eye and then their other eye is blue. How does that happen genetically that they have two different colour eyes?
Sometimes in the course of development, so you get your genes from your mother and father, of course, but and they can include mutations. So if a mutation happens after you get your genes from your mother and father, but while you're still developing, for example, it can occur in the cells that give rise to one eye and not to the other. So it's called a chimeric mutation. Sometimes it can happen. It's actually not that uncommon. And normally in the body, you wouldn't see it, but it just so happens on this particular organ, the eye, it's very visible.
All right. No, I just find somebody really attractive when they have two different colour eyes. There you go.
David Bowie, I think.
David Bowie.
We'll get a poster for you for later on in the programme. Where would you, in the more recent skeletons, where will they come from? They're from the National Museum, or where would you find that skeletal material?
Oh, the National Museum. Yeah. Yeah. Sampling of ancient material in Ireland is very strictly controlled, and rightly so. Because it's part of our heritage and it's controlled by the National Museum. So that's
and how long before you think you have results, you will have results from this study?
I would hope we'll have certainly some results within the year.
Okay, maybe you might come back and tell us a little bit about what you found.
I'd love to, yeah.
Thank you. There's lots of questions for you about blue-eyed and brown-eyed and green-eyed as well. I'll give you those after the programme.
Can we not just play songs about eyes? There's so many
Brenda's
songs.
I was really into this topic.
I really want to talk to you, Dan, off air, yeah.
That's Professor Dan Bradley, who is the Professor of Population Genetics at TCD. Thank you for coming in. Yeah. Can I just say that Professor Dan Bradley has been at pains, as we were in the ad break, to say that his explanation of green eyes and blue eyes and why two pair is not definitive, that it's more of a junior cert level teaching of genetics and it's just a basic thing. And all sorts of factors, environmental, genetic, all sorts of things can dictate eye colour. So please don't doubt the paternity, maternity of your children and any divorces or breakups. But if you do have any complaints, send them care of Derek Mooney. He'll be away in South Africa next week. He'll get a surprise when he comes back. But thank you to Dan. That was very interesting, Brenda, I have to say.
I would talk to him for hours.